Hey guys, it's been a minute, but we're back. Snap and Chance Wrestling on this show this week. We are going to talk about WrestleMania, WWE, Edge winning a championship, Okada winning championships, AEW is trying to match up. All this and so much more on this episode of Snap and Chance Wrestling. So strap in and thank you for letting us into your ears. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Samp and Chance. I am your host, Bobby Sampson, joined as always, my man with the master plan, Mr. Chance Michaels. Chance, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Can't complain, man. You're putting me through the paces, brother. I'm going to say it publicly right now. What I feel to, you know, I feel very weak. But that being said, that weakness also shows how much stronger I'm getting. Does that make sense?
Well said. You may feel weak, but you're showing up and doing the work. That makes you strong. So I disagree with what you're saying, but you show up and do the work, it makes you strong. But I know what you mean.
Yeah, I feel weak right now, but I know the strength is coming. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
but people wondering what I'm talking about, Chance is putting me through the paces. I have some back issues and stuff like that. So he's being kind enough, brotherly enough to take me under his wing and put me back on the right track, because we got a lot of shows to do, man. We got many years of this to do. So
and the thing is, dude, you do a good show anyway, as it already is, no complaints, but the more you train and work, you'll be even sharper.
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. Right? So thank you very much for that, brother, man. So if I look kind of stiff or whatever, that's why. But hey, man, let's get right to it. AEW, we didn't have a show last week. A lot has happened since we've last been here.
Oh, yeah.
First thing I want to talk about AEW, this is why I find it contradictory. Congratulations to Edge on finally winning the champion, the TNT. The TBS, is it TNT or TBS?
TNT, championship? They call it the TNT championship.
Right. The TNT championship, finally he earned it. But here's the reality of it, man. He said publicly when he left the WWE or when he thought he was retiring that he would never fight in Toronto again. But here we are. Him in Toronto fighting. So, you know, I just find that kind of contradictory. I get it. But, you know, it's just kind of like you went off on such a high.
Well, Ric Flair went on a high too, and Shawn Michaels, and they kind of came back. And you can never go out on the high that WWE gives you when you go out. You'll never recapture it. So I hear what you're saying. I don't think he should have done it, but it wasn't a bad match. I like the hockey street fight element in Toronto, so that made sense. But they need to
wrap up each other. No, it was good. I mean, you know, Christian wearing the Boston Bruins jersey. I mean, it totally ties into the rivalry and everything like that. Ending up in the penalty box, I really enjoyed it. I mean, the match was pretty standard.
The only thing I will say is when I was watching, I was like, holy crap, but this is like, is this in slow motion? Because it just took so much time. I know, get it, they're selling it, but like you could just tell, like, they don't got many more of these left.
Well, I mean, it worked well because they're both at the same level, right? So, I mean, you had a decent match. If you had kind of put him in there with anyone else, you know, kind of beating.
They had the hockey, they had the hockey stick.
No, it was fun. Okada, not only 2 weeks in, he takes Kingston's title away. So he's now the new
Continental champion. They just call it Continental.
Yeah, the Continental championship.
And thank you, Tony Khan, for getting that belt off Eddie Kingston. That guy doesn't deserve a belt. The only thing he needs a belt for is to hold his pants up. So,
oh wow, that's
glad Okada got it.
I thought maybe suspenders would be more fitting for him.
Yeah, so that wasn't. I mean, Okada's good. He doesn't have any character though. He knows how to work good though, but he definitely needs some character and some charisma. Maybe he'll find it. But two new champions in AEW, so they're trying to shake it up a little bit. So
they're trying to shake it up. I appreciate that. The one thing that I did take away is, like, you know, I'm watching Sasha Banks, aka Monet, Mercedes Monet. I'm not impressed by her so far.
Thank you for bringing that up. All this hype, all this stardom, the crowd doesn't seem to care. She's not, it's not working. I don't know. But I think they overhyped her for what she's capable of.
They overpaid her, bro. They overpaid her.
Well, that too.
She's making more than Charlotte now.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy, considering how much Charlotte's making to kind of top that. That's insane. I don't know. For me personally, like I've always liked her wrestling, but her mic work is just horrible. Right, it's not fun at all. It's not fun to listen to. It's kind of bubblegummy, schoolgirly, valley girl. You know where I'm going.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
There's just no flow to it. It just feels very regurgitated and rehearsed almost. Like I have a hard time with that and watching her cut the promo again on Wednesday, I'm just like, okay, what are you going to do with her? Because you've paid her so much money and she's already got heat on her backstage because she said in an interview recently that, yeah, at some point I will go back to the WWE.
Oh, she said that?
Yeah. Like, you know, never say never. Like, I probably will end up back there at some point. But the reality of it is, why would you say that as you're embarking on this new journey? Like, what do you say?
You already shot yourself in the foot by saying that. Yeah, you shouldn't say that.
Right. The other thing I wanted to touch on was this undisputed, like, you know, the Adam Cole crew. So Wardlow, the week before, lost his title match. And now it's almost like Adam Cole's doing exactly what MJF was doing with Wardlow, like, you know, putting him down. You didn't get the job done. Now your job is to support, you know, the other guys in the faction. I mean, you know, you got what's his name? Roddy has the other intercontinental title type of sort of a deal. And the other two guys in the faction are the Ring of Honor tag team. So now he's kind of put in a position where this guy is, again, just a piece of meat, a lunkhead.
Yeah. I don't know why Tony Khan books him like that. He's big, strong. He moves pretty well. Like, he should be taking Adam Cole and throwing him across the room. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's the reality of it.
Like a little guy's bully the monster. Like, it doesn't.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, eventually it's going to come back, and you know, we'll see the result where he'll get angry again. But why would you let yourself be put in that position again as a character?
Yeah,
you know.
They do some good things at AEW, and then in a couple matches are good and looks good, and then they do something really stupid the next couple segments. So it's still wishy-washy, you know, but they're trying. I mean, but it's just, they need to create some stars. You can't be relying on Edge and Christian to put on that's the best match they had last week, probably, right? The most notable match.
Yeah. And yeah.
These guys were over the hill.
Well, so, you know, I'd be more interested, like, okay, when I look at Mercedes Moné, for example, I would love to see her get into a program with Willow Nightingale, because Willow was the person that put her on the shelf when she broke her ankle or leg. It was with her that she was wrestling where that injury occurred. You know, that's a built-in storyline. Like, hey, you know, I'm here now, and this is what you did to me. You took a year out of my career. Why isn't that happening? You know what I mean? Like, there's just so many things that they could be doing. It almost feels like Bret Hart going to WCW and they didn't do anything with him for 6 months, even though they could have brought him out that night.
Yeah.
On Nitro, that very first night. And I think wrestling would probably still be somewhat where we are today, but it would have taken a longer path to get there. You know, so it's just kind of like, I don't know where their thinking is, but hey, man, this is why we watch the shows. This is why we diagnose it and, you know, break it down like that, dissect it. Overall, I thought Dynamite was a decent show. They got a new set now, right? You know, so they're moving in new directions and stuff like that. But we'll keep you posted as the shows go along.
Speaking of AEW, it's coming here in May. It's Rampage. Or no, Rampage. Collision.
The Collision, the Saturday show, yeah. No, we'll go check it out, man. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I've never been to an AEW
show. They got Daniel Bryan on there. They got a couple of good guys, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, it should be fun. Let's see how it plays out, man. The other thing I wanted to note was from that Boston show. It's like they couldn't even sell out to TD Garden, man. It was just lower bowl only.
I know. Well, because the thing is that Tony Khan has to understand is, yes, if you look at their ratings, they're basically the same every week, about 800,000, right? You're not gaining any new fans. These are the hardcore wrestling fans. You want to call them IWC, call them Marks, whatever you want to call them. But you're not getting the casual guy in there. And you need to have some sort of superstar, create somebody, bring in a big name to get the average Joe in there. Then you get the upper bowl full. But until you just feature these guys that you have, like, sure, Will Ospreay is a great wrestler. Kenny Omega is a great wrestler, Okada. But the average guy don't know who the heck these guys are because they got no charisma.
Yeah. Well, Okada's on the back leg of his career. Like, I was thinking about this last night when I was watching Raw. And, I, you know, Okada and Shinsuke Nakamura came to both my mind instantly because Okada is in the back nine of his career. Oh, I mean, absolutely. He could be on the 14th hole as we speak. Same with Shinsuke, right? They're both.
Thanks for bringing up Shinsuke. I thought about this last night when I was watching Raw. He's the only guy that I know that main events all the Raws, a lot of Raws, more than anybody. He's not even have a match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Just keeps main eventing and losing. I don't know what they're doing with that.
Well, I mean, I don't know what you can do with him because, like I said, I mean, these guys are both on their back legs. I mean, the reason they're not in New Japan is because New Japan doesn't want them anymore. They have no purpose
there, right? I would say don't book Nakamura in all the main events on Raw all the time. That if he, you know what I mean? If you're not going to put him in a marquee match at Mania, then drop him down on the card a bit.
Well, I think maybe that will change a little bit after WrestleMania. Right now, it just kind of works out that way. I mean, it shows his displeasure and his distaste for everything. I mean, really, if you want to, he should be one of the guys in damage control. I mean,
yeah, I've never understood his hype. I didn't really ever really care for him, his character, his look.
You gotta go back to New Japan to really, really, truly appreciate him. The stuff that he did in New Japan, the stuff that Okada did in New Japan back in the day was just next level stuff, man. It's just phenomenal, right? If you don't have access to it, if you're not a fan of New Japan or don't follow New Japan that closely, you'd never know, right? I mean, that's the thing. Even in this day and age of internet and everything available to everybody, I mean, it's kind of hit or miss, right? You only see
just so much wrestling now with AEW and WWE and
a little bit of everything. All right, man. Monday Night Raw last night. I tell you what, if this was the go home show to WrestleMania, I would have been really, really happy. I thought this was probably the best WrestleMania lead up show that we've seen so far, in my opinion, personally. I just thought it was really good. What I liked about it is they made the stories feel a bit more complete now. Yeah, we've been talking about, okay, Seth this, Roman that, all this, and, you know, you're not paying attention to these matches. But the way they played it last night, I really enjoyed that promo. Punk coming out was great on the mic. I really enjoyed his promo. I thought it was a lot of fun. But what I really enjoyed about it is when all three of them, Seth, Drew, and Punk, were in the ring together. You know, everyone keeps talking about Seth not paying attention to his match against Drew, but you know what? They kind of sold it to me last night that Drew is also focused more on Punk than his match. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like it's tying it all in together really nice. I thought it was really good. The Rock coming out, he was supposed to come out next week, not this week, coming out, whispering in Cody's ear. So people who don't know, he said, "I'm going to make you bleed tonight." That's what he said. And, you know, sure enough, he made him bleed. And that was like an old school Attitude Era kind of segment at the end, man.
I think what's going on here is because Ari Emanuel is probably thinking, wait a minute, we're going to be out of here in less than a year. We're going to Netflix. So I can push the line a little bit now because what are they going to do? I think that's part of it. And also, Ari's letting the guys talk a little bit. Some of the promos are sometimes they're less scripted. The promos are worse. Sometimes they're better. Example yesterday, what Drew McIntyre said to Punk, that wasn't written by anybody.
No.
He could tell he's playing off the cuff. When he said, Punk, you don't know what it's like to have biceps because Punk's not in shape. I love it. Brilliant line, brilliant line. And then he pointed out the straight edge stuff, but you don't drink, you don't drug, you're always in rehab. You know, right now, Drew is, that was the best segment of Raw, Punk, Rollins.
Yeah, I know, 100%.
Right now, Drew's on his game. I thought he outworked both of them on the mic. And Punk's known as a talker, but I think right now, because Drew's hitting a nerve. Like he's talking like the casual guy who talks about CM Punk. And
here's the other thing that I took away from Drew McIntyre. He's coming off like a bit of a woke bitch, man. You know what I mean? Some of the things he was saying is like, well, you can't say that in these days in 2024 when he was referencing the skirt. And then, you know, he said something else I can't recall, but they're kind of pushing him off as more of this kind of woke kind of character as well, which, you know, will probably catch the ire of a lot of, you know, fans that aren't as woke as him. You know what I mean? So I like that as well. I thought that was really interesting.
That is like how he's basically describing CM Punk, like what everybody thinks about the guy. Nobody's ever really – Kevin Nash, only other guy to actually call CM Punk out, you know, about his body and stuff. And I'm glad that Drew said that to him. And it just – it makes it feel more real because, you know, it's true. And
I had no problem with it. I mean, I also enjoyed the first actual real interaction between Rhea and Becky. I thought that was really good as well.
One thing I did not like about that, which ruined the whole segment for me, is you got Becky Lynch, who's 120 pounds, and she punches out Dom. Like that's the kind of that part of wrestling what makes it corny and cheesy when you're flipping around and see that this is a joke. Like that segment was great, but watching Becky punch out Dom, and then he's all, you know what I mean? It made him sound so cowardly and so girl-like for Dom.
But that's a character the way he's supposed to be sold, right? I mean,
so far with from reality.
The
best segment of the night was Drew, CM Punk, and Rollins. It feels real as much as wrestling could be. Then when you watch that, it's like, that's so corny and cheesy. But Rhea and Becky themselves was good. I'm just talking about Becky punching out Dom. Absolutely cheesy. I never would have booked that in a million years. It's just so corny.
No, I get it. I get it. But I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you got to appease everyone, right? I mean, Dom is supposed to be that kind of guy that you can punch, right? So, you know, I get that completely. But overall, I thought the whole program was really good. I just enjoyed Raw last night. I really did. It didn't feel like 3 hours last night. You know, I mean, The closing was great. I love the end segment. I just love that, you know. And I noticed that a lot of people are excited that they saw color, thinking color's back in the game. But I think what a lot of people have to understand that the cussing, the language, and the, you know, the color, it's only reserved for a handful of people on the roster. And backstage, it's incidentally causing a rift backstage a little bit, because a lot of the other guys and girls are like, well, why can't we do this?
Yeah. You know, here's a funny thing. Mark Henry, I think, has the best quote about Raw. He says, about The Rock, he says, The Rock is obviously the biggest star in wrestling. It's not even close. It's not Cody Rhodes. It's not Seth. These guys aren't mega stars. They're stars among hardcore wrestling fans, but they're not stars like The Rock. He said, Roman Reigns, which I totally agree with, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, they're all his side chicks. When Rock shows up, he's the man. You realize how small these guys are. And Roman looks at The Rock like, you know, he looks bewildered that he's in there. Like, I'm facing a star. Nobody right now can outshine The Rock. The guy's in his 50s. And he's still a better talker, better promoter than all these guys. And, you know, it's just, he's levels above all these guys. And it's sad that he's not in the main event, but he's schooling them all.
No, he's doing great.
Backstage segment.
No, he's doing great. I mean, he's 1998, 1997 Rock all over again.
But,
I mean,
but he just goes to show you what a star is. Cody Rhodes and Seth, they're not stars. And when Rock shows up, you feel that special.
There's only a handful of true superstars in wrestling ever.
Yeah.
Hogan. Stone Cold. Rock. And Cena. Really. I mean, if you think about it, off the top of my dome, they're even bigger than Ric Flair. They're bigger than any of those other guys, man. Like, I mean, that's
popularity-wise,
right.
Speaking of John Cena, did you watch his movie? I thought it was brilliant. Did you watch that, Ricky Stenicki?
Oh, so funny, man.
He's a great actor,
dude. There's so.
I think he's a better actor than The Rock. I've always said that. He doesn't have as many movies, but
he is willing to put himself out there. That's the difference I feel between the two actors. Like, John Cena's willing to do the really, really silly stuff that you would not expect a John Cena to do. I mean, outside of the world of wrestling and acting, the guy's a very big conservative. Like, he comes off very conservatively. He speaks conservatively. He has a very high level of standard.
He's very guarded, yeah.
Right, very guarded. But even the way he lives, like, everything is organized and clean. There's no BS with the guy. Like,
he doesn't do many interviews, but he was on the Logan Paul show there a little bit ago, and he's talking. Yeah. He's still got one more match in him, you know, so he's not done yet.
He wants 17. I know he does, right? It's just a question of how do you get them there and how that play out, right?
In wrestling, you can do anything you want. If Becky Lynch can punch out Dom, he can show up and beat anybody for the belt. That won't
matter. No. I get that completely. It's just, but make it good, though, right? You have to make it somewhat good.
For a John Cena level, yeah.
Well, not just that. I mean, if you think about it, Cena's been a bit on a losing streak every time he's come back now. He hasn't won a match in a bit, and he's putting over these guys, right? He put over Austin. He put over Cejudo.
Logan.
Logan as well. Well, did he fight Logan?
Yeah, WrestleMania.
John Cena.
Yeah.
No. He fought Austin Theory last WrestleMania. 39.
Oh, yeah, Austin Theory. So, yeah, you're right. Yeah, Theory beat him.
Yeah, Theory. That's what I said. So, he put over Theory. You know, and he's put over Solo, and I'm looking at both these guys that he's put over. Like, I feel bad for Austin Theory, because if you think about it, from year to year, from WrestleMania 39 to 40, he hasn't grown as much as I thought he would have off of
They don't let him. They're not giving him the matches. He's the super built, super athletic. The cell phone gimmick was great. They should have kept going with that.
I thought it was fun.
He made it arrogant, and then, you know, new man in charge. Maybe Ari doesn't like him as much as Vinny does, and say, you know what?
I don't know.
I don't know, but when you've got a talent like that, looks like that, he's that young, you're going to put out guys like Johnny Gargano and Kevin Owens. It's like, come on, guys.
Well,
they've had their time. Bring up the young guys.
Yeah, 100%.
He'll be at WrestleMania, but he's with Grayson Waller. Like,
but what's he going to do? He doesn't even have a match at Mania, does he?
Well, they're going to call. I think the SmackDown, they're going to qualify for that.
On Friday, right?
Yeah, six.
For the tag team match. Thing.
They'll get in it.
I hope so. So far, all the right teams are in that match, you know, the ones that you want to see in there, right? So, I mean, let's hope they get it right and we have a decent card.
Yeah, it was a good Raw, though. I mean, the Rock's backstage stuff was great.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
obviously, CM Punk.
Next Monday is a go home show, but I really felt that
I don't know if they can top that show. That was pretty good.
But that's what I'm saying. This felt like the go home show to me, right? I mean, if you think about it, we got NXT tonight, we got SmackDown, then we got. One more Raw and NXT. So we got five more shows in essence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I say NXT because a lot of stuff is intertwined through the NXT lines and this and that. And
which I don't like how I don't like how they're blurring the lines like that. That's supposed to be the minors. I don't like how they cross those lines.
Stand and Deliver is before WrestleMania on Saturday, right? So they're trying to promote everything, but you know who's kind of coming through, right? So yeah, I mean, I think we're geared up, man. I'm excited. I'm officially excited for Mania. I think, you know, I'm looking forward to it. You know, let's just see what they do with the next few handful of shows.
But the only problem is that I find Raw was great last night, no complaints. But the problem with the new book, the guys that are booking these matches, everything is predictable. This is the most predictable wrestling I've ever seen. I can never remember. We already know who's going to win. So something needs to happen at WrestleMania where, oh my God, I can't believe he won or she won. Because right now, we all know what's going to happen. If that's the case, that makes wrestling boring. Wrestling's best when, oh my God, look what happened.
Yeah.
So hopefully they got something up their sleeves.
I know we've talked about this in nauseam and we've really broken it down, but there's a few factors that go into that, bro. One, A, you and I know wrestling too well.
Yeah, but even back in the day, like, oh, I can't believe you won. Like, for example, when Brock Lesnar beat Taker Street, nobody predicted that. So something needs to happen.
I get it.
And we all know Cody's going to walk out of WrestleMania crying, holding the belt.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, we kind of got that moment last year. We all thought he was going to win at that time, but he didn't.
They need to realize Cody's only popular among the hardcore fans. He's not a mega star, and they're going to learn that when he gets the belt.
The way I look at this happening and breaking it down, I mean, you got to keep in mind, I know you're not a huge fan of him or not, but that dude, Damian Priest, still has that briefcase, man.
Yeah.
Right, you know, so that I don't know if that has something to do with it. Something else from Raw, I don't know if you picked up on this when they were doing the backstage promos. I don't know who it was. I think the R-Truth stuff when he was standing there with New Day and DIY. And those. If you look in the back, Heyman was talking to Drew. Did you see that?
Yeah, I seen that. Yeah,
right. So, what does that mean? You know what I mean? So, there's little things here. I almost have a feeling whoever wins that match between Seth and Drew.
Which is true, 100%.
Right. But I have a feeling Damien's going to come in and try to cash in or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's something there because Money in the Bank
is going to happen. They got to make WrestleMania exciting and fun, not mundane, where we know we predict all the winners. I want to see whatever it will be.
Let's not pass judgment until we see the show.
No, I'm not. But I'm saying the last Raws and SmackDown, the pay-per-views is so predictable.
I get it, but that's our fault too. It's like, okay, the other day I was watching some TVs with the little one.
No, right? But even Reigns can predict what's going to happen. Cody's winning, Drew's winning. Like it's too obvious.
I get it. Little Miss does the same thing too. She sees it, goes, "Oh, this is going to happen, right?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, good eye, right?" But I mean, I get it. But let's just give it a chance. I mean, you know.
No, I'm giving it for a chance. I'm going to watch it. I hope it's good, but they need to shake it up. Yeah. Do something fun. Do something exciting.
Yeah.
Bring back somebody. Have a star come out. Whatever the case may be, make it special.
I'm sure Stone Cold will show up. I'm sure Cena will show up. You know, just because we're not talking about them or they're not on the screen.
I'm talking more of like something's got to happen. Somebody's got to lose a belt that you wouldn't think would happen. A new era. Bring it. Like something's got to change. Make it exciting. WrestleMania. Right. Finish it.
I keep saying Damian Priest, but say, okay, Roman loses the title, Damian comes in and cashes in.
No, Cody's walking out with that belt.
I'm just throwing it out there.
They're too scared to upset the wrestling community. Cody's walking out with that belt.
Well, let's see how they play it out, man. I have a feeling
that's a guarantee. I put my life savings on it. He's WrestleMania Night 2 champion, cries in the ring, comes the next night in a suit. Cries in the ring, and away we go with a new feud.
I would love to see. I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, he's going to lose one of those matches.
Yeah, he's going to lose the first night, and then he'll beat all the Bloodline guys up.
But what I would like to see, you win the first night, and you lose the second night. There you go.
I would, but it won't happen.
You never know. Let's see what they do. All right, you mentioned Kevin Nash earlier, and I only want to bring him up because the guy's 60-something. And he's saying, okay, this is my before picture. The guy shredded.
Oh, yeah.
What's he going to do now? Like, guy looks great.
Oh, yeah. I like Kevin Nash. He's always been in good shape. It's just that he's maintaining at this age.
I saw that graphic and, you know, I was like, okay, you know what? There is hope for me. You know, it's just kind of like.
Even Hogan at 70, his arm was still huge. No, show me a 7-year-old man that looks like Hulk Hogan. Nobody.
No. Oh, he can't walk, but, I mean, his upper body's phenomenal.
Yeah, all the spine, all the leg drops crush the spine. But yeah, Kevin Nash is good. Another thing, Goldberg's been talking a little smack about Triple H. He was saying, you know, this and that. And I think he called him, what did he call him? An entitled brat or something like that. You know, when he came, they had a little beef in 03. Then in 2022, you know, Triple H is talking smack. And so
To be fair, in my personal opinion, like, I mean, I have no problem.
They had their match Goldberg. Together too. Remember they had their title match?
I think Goldberg's a whiner though. He was complaining about Asuka. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man.
The one thing Goldberg can take away from Goldberg, and not even Triple H, when he was hot, he's one of the biggest stars ever. And he was always, in that moment, when he did that 60-0 run or whatever, 80-0, he was more popular than Triple H ever was. Now, Triple H is a way better wrestler. Don't get me wrong. But in that moment, Triple H has never reached a level of popularity as Goldberg has.
Fair play.
And I'll tell you right now, Triple H would never step the Goldberg. Goldberg rip his face off. Goldberg's a former NFL athlete. The guy's huge, knows MMA. He destroyed Triple H.
There you go. You heard
it's it. It adds a little bit of excitement. You know, the guys talk smack about each other. It's competitive, right?
I get it. I just find Goldberg to be too bitter, though, sometimes, man. And you have no reason to be bitter. Like,
I don't think he's really bitter. He just says, you know, Bret Hart, I apologize. Shut up now.
The way he comes across bitter, in my opinion.
I don't think so. He's actually a real cool guy. When you watch him with all of his cars and out and about, super good friend of Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders always said, well, there was a dog pile in football. You always want Bill Goldberg there.
No, man. Outside of wrestling, he's a great guy. But whenever he talks about wrestling in general, I find
people dog him, a lot of jealousy. Oh, he can't wrestle, he can't do that. But the guys that say that didn't sell as many tickets as Goldberg did.
Yeah, 100%.
If you put a poll up right now and said, who's better, who had a better career, Johnny Gargano or Goldberg, I guarantee you Gargano will win that poll because the IWC loves a guy like that. They don't like a guy like Goldberg when it's not even close. Johnny Gargano can sell at a bingo hall. You know what I mean? Just for example.
Fair enough, man. All right, I tell you what, while we wrap this puppy up here, we have a big preview show coming up next week. We'll break down the whole card. By that point, we should know exactly where everyone is and who's going to be what. I think the card's pretty much set in stone already. There's not much more to add, just a couple pieces here and there. But other than that, brother man, anything else?
Good Raw. It was a good Raw. It was a strong Raw, very strong.
Right.
One of the better Raws in a while.
I'm kind of curious to see what they do for a go home show now because that was the go home show, man, in my opinion. All right, brother Matt, let's wrap it up here. Let's call it a day. Happy Tuesday to you. So I am Bobby Sampson. He's Mr. Chance Michaels.
And in the words of the great ACDC, those that download, like, and subscribe to the podcast, we salute you.
We do salute you. And everybody, please take your time getting where you're getting. The days are getting longer, so enjoy them. Take care of your health, take care of your families, and just take care of yourselves. And remember, there is nobody on this planet that's going to accomplish your goals except you. And if anyone tells you any different, you talk to fuck off. Sam and Chance are out.